When I was a child, we played a game that we called Wild Goose Chase. You may have had a similar game and called it something else. It goes like this. One person leaves clues, and the other person or people follows those clues until they reach the treasure. For example, and I'm going to actually do this at 10 o'clock at our family service. The first clue, I can be found behind the eagle's wing. I saw at least one person look straight over there, and that's where the next clue is going to be. That clue is going to say, ask for help from the music lady. Remember to say please and thank you. And Valerie will have the next clue. Look under the pew most people avoid. If you need a hint, ask a priest. And the hint is most people don't want to be too close to the front. So the next one's going to be hidden under one of those front pews. And the final clue, where do babies take a bath? If you need a hint, ask the priest. And that's where do we baptize people? And inside the baptismal font is going to be a bag of candy, the treasure. Well, of course, when we played this game as kids, there would be a lot more than four clues. And the challenge was always for the clue writer to make the clue solvable, but not too easy. And the challenge for the seeker, obviously, was to correctly follow the path set out by the clues. I don't know if I'm the only one, I doubt it, who likes this kind of a challenge. It's one of the reasons that I think mystery novels and TV dramas are so popular. It's so much fun to try to guess who done it, or how it's all going to turn out before the author reveals the answer. Some people actually find this same pleasure with certain computer games as they figure out what it takes to get to the next level. But when it comes to real life, I don't think many of us like going on wild goose chases. We want accurate directions, as anyone who tries to navigate with an outdated GPS knows. We want accurate directions. What the Beatitudes, today's gospel, gives us is a series of clues as to the right path. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But to understand how the Beatitudes become a series of clues as to the right path, we need to do a little bit of a word study. The word used by Matthew in the Greek is makarios, and it's usually translated into English as blessed. Not exactly a word we use in everyday English, is it? Many modern translators have tried substituting the word happy. Happy are those who are poor in spirit. Happy doesn't quite work, though. Happy are those who mourn. It just doesn't work. So more must be meant by this word makarios than mere happiness. If we look to the Hebrew, the verb used for blessing is ashar, or asher. And that can be also translated to find the right road. To find the right road. I don't know what the Aramaic is, But it is very similar in many places to the Hebrew, maybe here as well. And since Jesus spoke either Aramaic or Hebrew, I think he probably meant something more along the lines of find the right road than happy, happy, happy. Those who are poor in spirit find the right road, the road to heaven. Those who mourn find the right road, because in the end they will be comforted. Yes, God will eventually comfort those who mourn, give mercy to the merciful, satisfy the hungry of those who long for righteousness. But the Beatitudes are more than promises of some heavenly reward, some pie in the sky. If you read the English, the tense slips back and forth between present and future. And in fact, the verb isn't even there in the Greek, the to be verb. Blessed those who mourn. You have to supply the tense. Blessedness is both present and future. And that's the proclamation of the church, that the kingdom of God is both present and future, both now and not yet. We do not yet see the fullness of salvation. We do not yet know the completeness of resurrection. And that is a concept particularly appropriate for All Saints Sunday. Those who have died before us do experience the fullness of resurrection. They live in the complete kingdom of God. They have the whole of salvation. We, on the other hand, live more in the not yet than in the now, and we hope for the future, and in the process, we need to know the right path. The issue, the right path, is how we live in the present. And for that, the Beatitudes are a useful guide. Now, they don't intend to encourage passivity, as if to say, don't worry about persecution. You'll have heaven when you die. Don't worry. No problem if you're mourning now. You can be happy in heaven. Don't worry if life has given you nothing but lemons. In heaven, you'll drink sweet lemonade, and if you want to add a little alcohol to it, that's great too. That kind of passivity in the present isn't the intent of the Beatitudes. Instead, they suggest a right path to walk, not in order to get into heaven, but because it is the right path. We are created in the image of God, and so we are on the right path when we act in a manner consistent with the character of God. We, the baptized, are blessed when we are humble. We, the baptized, are blessed when we grieve for the evil in the world and the evil people do. We, the baptized, are blessed when we are merciful as God is merciful. We are blessed when we do the things that make for peace. It's not easy. It's not an easy way to live, but it's not a wild goose chase either. We have only to follow the clues left by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and follow the footsteps of the saints who have preceded us. Beloved, we are blessed to the degree we walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are the people of God. Amen.